On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast,
we had this.
I had people calling me last week asking me, was there any way I'd be able to get a better ticket for him for an All-Ireland quarterfinal? I've been involved with Kerry for I don't know how many years. Nobody has ever in their life called me about a ticket for a quarterfinal of an All-Ireland. It hasn't happened. Like, I don't even think the sport is. I think it's completely unrecognisable from what we've seen previously.
And there was also some of this.
Finley is a character. He is absolute character. He actually used to have a YouTube channel where he'd review wrestling matches in a Cain Gleb mask. There you go.
How do we find this?
Yeah, what is it? Yeah,
come on, what's this? Spill the beans.
I don't know if it exists anymore, but it was pulled up in camp many moons ago and it was incredible.
Catch up now on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
Right then, the 2025 KPMG Women's Irish Open is happening this week at Carton House, and I'm delighted to say that we are joined by one of the star attractions of this week, Leona Maguire. Leona, how are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well. So, safe to say this is an insanely busy time in your life. You played Michigan, obviously, last week, back home this week to play. Is it straight off the plane and straight into Irish Open mode, or do you have time to at least catch up with a few family members, a few friends potentially?
No, pretty much ran off the 18 green last week to 2 hours to Detroit to try and catch a flight on Sunday night to get back here, and spent the afternoon in the K Club yesterday. It was nice, sort of rested and recharged last night, and yeah, out to Carton House then this morning, full steam ahead on this week.
What is Carton House like for you? Is it a place that you love playing?
Yeah, it's a great golf course. Played the back nine this morning. It's in really good shape. It's sort of a nice parkland course. The greens are rolling well, and sort of a good preparation for the Evian Championship next week. And I think it's going to be windy, so that'll be a good test sort of Friday and Sunday. And we'll see how it goes.
Is that basically the long and short of your preparation most weeks these days, where you get the opportunity to maybe play nine holes on the course, you don't get a full practice round in?
I think it depends. Depends where we are in the world and how much time we have. And so obviously this is a quick turnaround coming across the pond. But I'll get another look at the golf course in the Pro-Am tomorrow. And then we'll be ready to go. But I've obviously played Carton here last year and made a couple of trips earlier in the year with my coach Shane. We knew this was always going to be a quick turnaround at this point in the schedule. Is just, this is week four of five in a row for me. So we always knew this was coming. So we kind of got ahead of it and had the preparation in. So that sort of takes a little bit of the pressure off this week. So it's not, you're not running around trying to fit too much stuff in.
What kind of things can you do to get ahead of it?
Just sort of making sure we know the lines of tees, and so that, I suppose basically all you're trying to figure out this week is how firm are the greens and how fast are they running, and just adjusting to that. And we're used to that every week. Every week we go from different states or different countries, different conditions, different grasses, all of that. So that's part of life as a tour pro, being able to adjust on the fly. So we'll just have to do that even quicker this week.
And I guess it's something that is a sign of where you're at in the world, and something that maybe you've always wanted or dreamed of. You know, it of course comes with, I'm sure, frustrations, and it feels that every place you go to is like a fleeting experience, I'm sure, at times. But at the same time, you're hopping from one amazing golf course to another, playing in the biggest competitions in your sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always say I have the best office in the world. It changes every week. Sometimes a different state, sometimes a different country. But very lucky to get to do what we do. And even if it means a little bit of jet lag on the way. I've been to some amazing places, amazing countries that I wouldn't have been if it wasn't for golf. So nice to be somewhat close to home, even if I don't get to sleep in my own bed this week, but nice to have some home support out following along this week.
So I was going to ask, I see you're renovating a house in Cavan at the moment. Will you get an opportunity at all to get up and keep an eye on how the progress is going, or not even anywhere near home this week, is it?
Not this week, no. This week it's very much focused. It'll be on the Irish Open, and then we go to Evian next week, and then I'll get a chance to go home. But I suppose, yeah, I don't know if I want to open that can of worms and leave that for a couple of weeks' time. There's a lot more decisions to be made and things to do than even maybe I realised, but a fun project all the same.
Yeah, I bring it up because I was chatting to Rhys McClenaghan a few weeks ago, and he's also kind of in the process of building a house at the moment, actually up near Newton Ards. And he says it's actually an amazing distraction from the sport, just this very, something that's quite simple to the ordinary person. For somebody who's so obsessed with their sport and has a singular focus day in, day out, he just says it's such a breath of fresh air having this project going on the side in his life. Is that something you've kind of experienced as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been really interesting. I think there's a lot gone into it that I didn't even realize, all the different levels. And I suppose one of the things I like to do when I'm not playing golf is cook. So I've sort of, some of the things that have interested me is like the design of the kitchen and the layout and all that thing. There's other things like what color doorknobs, they're not as interesting, and where different lights are going to go. But yeah, there's a lot of different pieces. And mom and dad have helped me a bit. Dad's been sort of unofficial project manager at home, overseeing a few things. But yeah, a nice distraction, like you say, something completely different. And we're away so much, it's nice to have something to come home to.
Talk to us about last weekend then at the Dow Championship. You were playing alongside Jennifer Kupcho. Some good moments across the week. How does that partnership come together before last weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I've known Jen for close to 10 years now. Played a lot of college golf together. She went to Wake Forest, I went to Duke, so just down the road from each other. And I think we've been very big competitors, I suppose, over the years. So it was a bit of a change of pace last week to team up at the team event. And I think our games quite complemented each other quite well. And yeah, we got along really well. We're obviously leading through the first 2 days and things were going well. Just didn't quite get it going over the weekend. But I suppose that's sort of the week that's in it. You kind of go lower, get left behind a little bit, and just didn't make enough birdies over the weekend. But still a fun format. And I suppose as golfers, we don't get to play team events very often. So it's a fun format, and I suppose a little less stressful, a little less pressure than a normal week. So nice sort of build into this week.
Your team name was the Irish Goodbyes. Who came up with that team name?
That was Jen's caddy. I suppose that was kind of a nod to, I suppose, both of us kind of like to be under the radar, I suppose, a little bit. We're not probably the most outgoing in big social gatherings, that the running joke that we'd be both happy enough to just slip off quietly and not tell anybody. So I think that's where Josh kind of came up with that one. But yeah.
I was wondering which of the two of you is more prone to performing an Irish Goodbye, but it sounds like both of you would be.
Yeah, I think we're both guilty as charged, I think. So I think that, yeah, kind of suited. And mine was even more so when I had to literally run off the 18 green to catch my flight. That was definitely more of an Irish Goodbye for sure.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of them have had to happen over the past couple of weeks trying to get around to different golf courses. Do you feel your form is in a much better place now than it was, say, even 3 or 4 weeks ago at this point? Like, even looking at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship and your first top 20 finish at a major in 2 years, I think it was. Is that a sign that it's all starting to come together nicely? The changes you've made in the off-season are coming to fruition?
Yeah, I feel like I've been playing some really good golf lately. I felt like for a few weeks I was playing a lot better than I was scoring, and I was actually quite confident heading into the KPMG Women's PGA Championship in Dallas. Played some great golf, got myself into contention over the weekend, and nice to be sort of in the business end of things and those last few groups in contention on the weekend, both at the KPMG and then last week at the Dow as well. So it's small margins all the time. Sometimes it seems way off when it's not actually the fact, but made some good strides with my driver and a new putter in the bag the last couple of weeks that hold some really nice putts when I needed to in the last couple of weeks. So overall trending in the right direction, and we've got a real busy summer of golf ahead. So nice to be playing well at this time of year.
Does the putter feel good in the hands? Obviously, is it one of those things that you just make one alteration and the first thing that you try works, or did you have to go through a number of different putters to arrive at this point?
It's actually a new version of an old putter that I had. Okay. So similar in ways, but also just a slightly new take. And sometimes that's all it takes, a little just change of perspective, or it's amazing.
Is there anything?
Just something small to trigger something.
Yeah. Obviously, feel free to be as nerdy about this as possible, but what's different about the old version of the putter? What has changed to it in a literal sense?
Yeah, so I'd switched sort of 6 weeks ago to, well, maybe 2 months even ago at this stage, to a center shafted putter with a slightly different insert, sort of zero torque, I suppose, is the buzzword with putters at the minute. It was that kind of zero torque putter, but just wasn't as soft as what I was used to my putter. So switched back to my older head, but I used to have a black shaft in it, and this one actually has a silver shaft. So just the little bit more contrast just seems to suit my eye that little bit better. And yeah, a small tweak, but sometimes that's all it takes is a small tweak. And it was actually a putter that the ping rep had in his house as a backup for me. He had it in his house for nearly over a year, just in case clubs got lost or broken or anything like that. So I texted him on the Sunday before the KPMG If he still, I wasn't sure if he still had it because we hadn't needed it. So I texted him and said, "Hey, do you have it?" He said, "Yep." And I was like, "Bring it to KPMG, please." And it was in the bag on Monday afternoon.
That's fascinating. Is it as much the fact that you've made a change as much as, you know, the type of change that you've made? You just need sort of a fresh perspective, or your mind just needs to click into a new sort of gear to up your game for a certain period of time?
Yeah, I think it's a little both. I think it's nice to have something new and something, but it's also nice to have something familiar as well. The putter that I had been using before that, I'd been using for 6 years nearly. So a lot of good memories and a lot of good feelings with that putter. And this putter that I'm using the last couple of weeks is very similar to that, nearly identical, just a slightly different shaft and different grip. So yeah, it's nice to see a few putts go in the last couple of weeks and sort of trigger those old memories with that putter.
Is your putter the only club where you need a bit of contrast on the shaft?
It's probably, yeah. I mean, the putter I have has a like a black head with big white lines, and then the shaft as well. So yeah, putting is a very personal preference. It's a very visual thing, obviously, as well. So you just certain things. Some people pick up a putter and love it. Other person might hate it. It's a very, like I said, very personal thing. So you just have to figure out what works for you, and that's why generally people will change their drivers and their wedges and all that quite frequently. But when you find a putter that you like, you're generally holding on tight to it.
You mentioned that you've been doing some work on the drive as well. That's with the same driver, is it?
Yeah, same driver as well. Just trying to fine tune that a little bit. And I suppose that's the thing in golf. You're always trying to get that little bit longer, bit straighter, a bit longer, all of that. So no matter where you are in the world, you're always chasing those small gains all the time.
And did you mention Shane O'Connell, your caddy? You referred to him as your coach earlier on, or was that something
sorry,
different?
There's two Shanes. There's Shane O'Brien, right. And Shane O'Connell. A bit confusing for everybody, but yeah, two Shanes.
Because I was wondering if he was perhaps actually offering some sort of training aspect as well, but obviously not. That being said, I was going to ask you about Shane O'Connell, your caddy, in terms mm-hmm. of what he offers you outside of course direction, mm-hmm. club selection. And I guess that's a personal preference for every golfer in terms of mm-hmm. what you want to get from your caddy. What is it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obviously you're right there for a long time out in the golf course every day. You're spending sort of 7-8 hours with them. So you have to, first and foremost, get along and be good company. But I suppose the caddy has the unique perspective of they watch every single shot every single week. So my coach will look back, my coach Shane, the other Shane, will look back over the stats and see if there's any trends of the driver was doing this or irons were doing that. But Shane will also be able to give him context of certain holes or certain winds or certain pin positions, or maybe I got a bit quick when I was walking around, or it got a bit quick in the takeaway, or stuff like observations that you just won't see potentially on telly or from the stats alone. So he is that sort of unique sort of perspective that he can feed back to different members of the team.
So the two Shanes work together basically.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and it's a team effort. I suppose golf is a very individual sport, but there's a team behind every golfer as well. The caddies, coaches, physios, nutritionists, everybody to try and make our lives as easy as possible.
Is Shane O'Connell something of a de facto sports psychologist as well? Like, the reason why I asked that is I think it's very well told at this point and very well remembered when Rory McIlroy is giving his post-round press conference after the fourth round at Augusta this year. Just the pep talk from Harry Diamond when he got sent to the playoff, and him saying to Rory at the start of the week, we would have bitten somebody's hand off for this situation to be in. And it was just a brilliant sort of trigger for Rory to go out and actually win that playoff. Do you get those sorts of nuggets from your caddy as well?
Yeah, I think the caddy plays a huge role when it comes to that. I suppose that's the thing with a caddy. It's a skilled knowing what to say, when to say it, sometimes not saying anything at all. And sometimes, yeah, you do have to step in and go, yeah, listen, this isn't the end of the world here. We still have a lot of holes left, whether it's be a bit more patient, be a bit more aggressive, whatever it is. Yeah, just knowing when to say it. I suppose that relationship develops over time. The more sort of experiences and situations you're in, bit by bit, you learn every time. And it's ultimately making a judgment call on what to say and when to say it.
I did wonder as well, how do you go about finding a caddy? Like, how do you cast that net out? Who do you talk to and begin that search?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it. I suppose the tour life is quite a tight-knit community. So you ask other players and get different feedback from different people. And Yeah, there's no sort of one way to do it, but yeah, I mean, when I was looking for Shane, I chatted to Patrick Harrington and chatted to a few of the guys out in the men's tour to see if there was anyone interested in coming over to the ladies' side. Chatted to some of the caddies on the ladies' tour, and again, everybody will have different preferences on what they want as a from a caddy. I suppose as for us as players, you just have to be very clear on what you're looking for and who you want, and see who fits that bill the best.
It does feel like Padraig Harrington, the likes of Paul McGinley, continue to be massive influences for you in a very direct way, like people you'd lean on and pick up the phone to.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been very lucky. The two lads have been very generous with their time, and yeah, Paul's been a huge mentor of mine from the Olympics in Rio, and he's always there at the end of the phone, and as is Padraig, and he's been generous. I've gone to see him at his house, and he showed me different short game shots and different shots, and I mean, they've just so much experience, so much knowledge of the game, and even to go to dinner with Padraig and Ronan and listen to their stories as well is quite entertaining, and it was fantastic to see him pick up a win at the US Senior Open there the other day. And I mean, I was texting on the way to the airport, but yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the nice thing when there hadn't been an Irish woman on the LPGA that's done what I've done ahead of me, so it's nice to have the lads in their position to lean on for advice. Yes, it's on the men's side, it's slightly different, but there is a lot of similarities, and they've been very good to sort of give me advice and give me pointers when I've needed. And even in Dallas a few weeks ago, Padraig had been there 2 years ago for the senior PGA, so he'd given me sort of pointers on different pin positions to look out for and different things on the course. And then he was actually playing the US Senior PGA at Congressional, which we'd been to a few years ago, so we were sort of swapping notes, and I suppose it
Right.
was a little different for me to be able to help him for a change rather than me constantly asking him for advice.
Who's coaching who is the question there. It does feel that, if he wasn't still such a kind of a heated competitor and having such success on the senior tour, that he'd have a lot to give as a full-time coach or as a full-time mentor, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, like I said, he has so much knowledge and so much to. He just loves golf, and he loves to share that knowledge. And I think that enthusiasm is infectious as well. It's nice to be around. And I mean, he's one of Ireland's greatest ever sportsmen, and he's so humble as well. At the end of it, what he's achieved is incredible. So I'm very fortunate to have him share even a small bit of that with me. And yeah, you just feel after speaking to him, you always feel like you've learned something, and you don't quite know where the conversation's going to go. But he has so much knowledge, so much experience, and fantastic to see him still competing on a world stage. And I'm sure he has high hopes in Portrush in a few weeks' time, as do all the Irish lads.
And the parallel between himself and yourself is obvious, I think, and maybe in time it'll become more clear, but he was the first of a very clearly incredible generation of Irish golfer. Like, you even look at the field this weekend at the Irish Open, and there are 16 Irish players this weekend in total, which is the largest Irish field ever at this competition. Obviously, you are in the thick of your career, in the peak of your powers, and you can only worry about Leona Maguire. And maybe it's something that you'll appreciate down the line. Do you even allow yourself for a second to just look at those numbers and think to yourself, geez, Irish golf has really ratcheted up over the past couple of years, particularly in the women's game?
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic to see this event grow year on year, and I think that's a testament to the effort that KPMG and everyone here has put into this Irish Open, that it seems to be getting bigger and better every year. And I've always said I think it's huge for the young amateurs and even the young pros to get a chance to play in a home open. I was fortunate enough with my sister Lisa to play in Irish Opens when we were younger and get a taste of, playing with Suzanne Pettersson and Sophie Gustafsson and Laura Davis and all these big world stars, Solheim Cup players that came in for the Irish Open. And the young Irish players are getting a chance to do that this week. And some of them will figure out it's very much something you want to do, and some of them will figure out it's not for them at all. But just even having that experience is incredibly valuable, and getting a marker of where their game's at against the best players in the world. Yeah, it's fantastic to see so many of them in the field this week, and they've obviously, some of them have been doing great on the LET, some of them have been doing great in college, and they're all at slightly different parts of their journey, but all here ready to tee it up this week. Played 9 holes with Lauren Walsh and Olivia Coslow this morning, so nice to catch up with them. And I suppose I'm the only one out in the LPGA at the minute, but it's nice to see. I think there's four or five of the girls on LET this year, and doing pretty well.
Your first Irish Open was 2009, if I'm not mistaken.
In Pomarac, yeah. Playing with Laura Davis was quite intimidating. Played with Laura the first 2 days. Won't forget that ever, I suppose, even though it's hard to believe it's that long ago now. But an incredible experience. But at the same time, was intimidated by playing with Laura, but at the same time was kind of like, I'd like this to be my job one day. And it was nice to get that taster. And it's one thing seeing these players on TV, but it's another thing being up close, seeing the shots, figuring out where your game stacks up against them and figuring out, do you like being in that sort of pressure cauldron of being able to pull off those shots when you need to.
Once the intimidation washes away, I presume you absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and I suppose they were the biggest crowds I'd ever seen in Clancastle. Also, the years after that, I had huge crowds as well. And as a young amateur, as a 14, 15-year-old, being able to hit those shots and having the crowds 3 and 4 people deep and cheering you on and winning you on, I'd never played in front of crowds like that before. So, yes, you're a bit nervous on the first tee, but as you get into it, those sort of nerves go away and you just have to embrace it and enjoy the experience. And I suppose that's probably my advice to the girls this week is not put too much pressure on themselves, trying to enjoy it as much as they possibly can.
Now, listen, Leona, very best of luck this week. Ireland obviously chasing its first winner in the event. I'm sure you're well aware of that fact and you'll be going after that over the next few days. Thanks a million for your time.
Thanks very much.
Football on Off the Ball.
That was the main thing that when I finished playing football. In other words, you're bringing the knowledge that you have over years of football to people who watch football.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.